Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to our Easter Sunday morning online service here at Lisburn Baptist Church. We gather in our homes together through technology as a church to remember the hope that we have in that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. You know, we rejoice this morning in sins forgiven and death defeated and an old life left behind and the experience we have of God in this life and in the expectancy of a future life in glory with our risen Saviour. And our victory is all wrapped up in what Jesus did when he died on the cross and the fact that he didn't stay dead, but he rose from the dead. And we're now going to see some of our church family rejoicing now in the fact that Jesus is risen. And after that, we're going to hear from one of our young people, Lewis, who is going to lead us in praise to our God. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed.
Good morning. On this Easter Sunday morning, we're all so glad to be able to say, Jesus is alive.
Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.
He is risen.
Christ has risen.
He is risen.
He is risen.
Christ is risen.
Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. And to all my friends in Austria, Germany and Switzerland, Flo Ostern, Jesus lebt, ist wirklich auferstanden.
He is risen.
Christ is risen!
He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. Matthew 28, verse 6.
Good morning. Our scripture reading this Easter Sunday morning is found in Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, verses 1 to 12. This is Luke's account of the resurrection and the discovery of the empty tomb. Now, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. There they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. When they had entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he said to you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen clothes by themselves, and he went home marvelling at what had happened. So reads the Word of God.
One of the most famous battles in European history was the Battle of Waterloo that happened on the 18th of June 1815. And of course, at the Battle of Waterloo, a resurgent Napoleon, who had been in conflict with England and other European countries for so long, a resurgent Napoleon was finally and decisively defeated by Wellington and his European allies. And of course, after that battle, there was no telephones, there was no internet, there was no instant communication like what we have today. And the nation at home in England and across the UK had to wait several days before news came back of that battle. And what they had done was they'd set up a communication system of flashing lights between one side of the channel to the other, so they didn't have to waste time of the news having to travel across on the boat and then be given in person. So they had this system of flashing lights from the north of France across to England. And during the Battle of Waterloo, there was heavy fog over the south of England at that time. And as the lookout strained and looked for the lights coming from the boats or coming from the coast, all the signallers, as they began to see flashes of light, could make out was two words in the fog. And the two words that they made out was, "Wellington defeated." Wellington defeated. And the mood immediately darkened, and people began to gradually learn that Wellington and his forces had suffered defeat. And yet as time went on, and the day went on, and the fog began to clear, the full message came out. And of course it was completely different. You see, what the signalers were signalling wasn't that Wellington was defeated. They were signalling Wellington defeated the enemy. Wellington defeated the enemy. The fog caused them to have a completely different perception to what the reality actually was. Rather than Wellington defeated, it was Wellington defeated the enemy. And that's the experience of those we read of in the Gospels that first Easter Sunday morning. They're living in defeat because in the fog of grief, in the fog of their lack of spiritual understanding of God's great plan of salvation, they couldn't see that they should have been rejoicing in victory rather than languishing in defeat. And it's only as the fog clears and God reveals what has really gone on that they begin to see the truth, that what they have experienced and what Jesus has done is victory and it's not defeat. And I just want to pick up on three things this morning as we look at this passage that Noel read to us in Luke chapter 24. We're going to see the women's journey. Secondly, we're going to see the women's discovery. And thirdly, we're going to see the women's testimony. So we're going to see their journey, their discovery, and their testimony. So firstly, we see the women's journey. That first Easter Sunday morning starts off with a journey. A journey that some women take while it is still dark to anoint a dead body. Look at verse 1 of chapter 4. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. Now we read in Luke chapter 23 that Jesus died on the cross late on the Friday. He had to be hastily buried. There wasn't time before the Sabbath for the usual burial processes to take place. And we read of that in verse 54 of chapter 23. It says, it was the day of preparation and the Sabbath was beginning. It was about to become into the Sabbath day. And of course, on the Sabbath, the Saturday, nothing could be done. So they rushed to take Jesus' body off the cross and to bury it before the Sabbath. Because the Sabbath, nothing could be done. So of course, these women, they couldn't come and anoint the dead body and give them the proper burial that he deserved on the Saturday. They had to wait till Sunday. And on Sunday, the first day of the working week, they were free to go and do the task that they'd wanted to do. And these women are not hanging around. They don't hold back, hesitant of this daunting task and this very difficult task that is ahead of them. No, they don't hide away from this distressing job. We read here that as soon as it is light, as soon as dawn begins on the horizon, I love how the Message describes verse 1 of chapter 24. It says, at the crack of dawn, at the crack of dawn, at the first opportunity, these women, they make the journey. And they bring the spices that they prepared with him. They knew where he was buried on the Friday. And they make this lonely, difficult journey to anoint the body of Jesus with these spices. Well, who were these women that made this journey? Well, we read in verse 8 of 24 that we have here Mary Magdalene. And we have a woman called Joanna. And we have Mary, the mother of James. We read that there in verse 10, and we also see that there's other women with them. So some of the other gospels give us the identity. We're told there's a woman called Salome, and Matthew's gospel tells us that the mother of Zebedee's sons were there. And some people think that was the same woman, Salome, and the mother of Zebedee's sons are the same. But we have this group of women who follow Jesus. And they're the ones that are making this journey. They're close acquaintances of Jesus. They're as devoted to Jesus as his male disciples were. In fact, when most of the male disciples fled and left Jesus alone at the cross, the women were there. The women were there. Now we read of that in chapter 23 and verse 49. And all his acquaintances and the women who had followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things. These women had followed Jesus throughout his ministry, right from Galilee, right through that whole journey to Jerusalem, that whole journey to the cross. They had been there. And they're so devoted to him. Why? Well, because they had experienced in getting to know Jesus, the saving power of Jesus in their own lives. Luke's already described some of these women and how they encountered Jesus back in chapter 8 and verses 2 and 3. And it says, "And also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their means." These women had been set free, they'd been healed by Jesus, and they had followed him. They devoted everything to him. They gave everything they could to him. He was their Messiah. He was their teacher. And they followed him. And yet as they make this journey on that first Easter Sunday morning, that hope that they had in Christ, all their dreams that had been wrapped up in their Messiah who had come, had been ripped away in the most violent way in an instant on that Friday. A couple of days earlier, they'd stood and they'd seen the one that all their hope was in die a shameful death and a painful death on a cross. And early on that Sunday morning, as they set out at dawn while it's still dark, they're probably making the hardest journey they'd ever had to make. Think about what they were going to do. They were going to put spices and oils on a dead body of someone they had loved. A body that had been beaten several times. A body that had been spat upon. A body that had a head that had a crown of thorns pushed deep into it. A body that had been scourged by a whip that separated flesh from bone. A body that had been forced to carry a cross through the dusty streets of Jerusalem till Jesus could carry it no more, with the dust and the dirt mixing in with his blood. A body with all the sweat and the tears as the sun would have beaten down. A body with nail wounds. A body that was stretched out by the weight that had been pressed on those wounds. A body with a spear hole in its side. That's the body they're going to anoint. That's the body that they witnessed coming down from the cross and buried. That's the body of their Messiah. The King whom they loved. The one who had set them free and healed them. The one who had showed them so much of their God. The one that they had come to love and come to devote. The one that all their dreams was in. And were now destroyed. These women do not set out on that first Easter Sunday morning expecting resurrection. They don't. They bring the spices with them to anoint the dead body. There's no hint of them even expecting it. Their hopes are dead because they think their Messiah is dead. They're going in one final act of devotion. They're going to say goodbye. They're in the fog, and all they can see is defeat. Daryl Bach, one of the commentators, says this about these women going to the empty tomb. "The following point cannot be stressed too strongly. These women do not go believing in resurrection. They did not go to check and see if the tomb was empty. The fact they took spices along to anoint a decaying body shows what they expected to find, and this despite six resurrection predictions in Luke." So the first people who had to be convinced of the resurrection were the disciples themselves. Maybe you're tuning in this morning and you have no belief in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You're with the women as they set out on that journey. Now, to you, Jesus isn't alive. You aren't looking for resurrection. Well, if that's you this morning, you're in good company. That was everyone that first Easter Sunday morning until they experienced the empty tomb and they encountered the risen Christ for themselves. And if that is you this morning and you're doubting the resurrection, or you're saying, "I don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus," you need a journey to the empty tomb like these women did. You need to encounter a risen Savior like these women do. But you need to look. You need to look. You need to go on that journey that these women went on. And I'd encourage you to do that this morning. There is nothing more important for you to do in your life than to measure and evaluate the claims in Jesus Christ that the Bible and Christians make. But yet in this journey in the darkness, as these women in despair make their way to anoint that dead body, I think there's a deeper affiliation we can have with these women. This journey is the journey of humanity, isn't it? It rings true to human existence in this fallen world. This world is broken. This world is fallen. This world is a world of suffering and death. You see, if we don't really get Easter, if we don't really understand the cross and the resurrection of Christ, if we've no hope of the gospel, then we all walk the road of these women, don't we? That's what we experience in this world, the effects of sin, the work of evil, the reality of death. It hits us all, and it has hit every single human being since the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve fell. Our dreams die, our hope dies, justice dies, good dies, comfort dies, people die, we die. We know all too well that journey of these women that first Easter Sunday morning. And without the truth of Easter, we often walk that lonely road to the graveside, don't we? We say goodbye to those we love, and someday others will say goodbye to us as they walk us there. And all the philosophies of this world are of no help in that moment. What hope is there in that moment? What hope really is there for mankind if that is our only reality, that we live in this life and we suffer and we die? What hope is there in atheism? What hope is there in the religions of this world with dead leaders? We are like the women going to the tomb in defeat. And yet what these women discover at that tomb is the hope that humanity has been yearning for. We push the idea of death out of our conversation. Our circumstances in the world at the minute are thrusting it back in, and we're being confronted with our own mortality. And the message of Easter and the events of that first Easter Sunday morning, hope blazes into the fog of this world, into the fog of our lives, into the fog of our suffering in this world. God brings hope to the suffering, hope to the darkness, hope at the graveside. And that's what these women experience as they make this journey in despair. They're in the fog, but soon they will see the hope. So we see their journey. Secondly, we see their discovery. Look at verses 2 and 3. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. They arrive at the tomb, the stone is rolled away. We hear in another gospel that they discussed on the way down to the tomb how they were going to roll away this big stone. And of course, they didn't need to have that discussion. By the time they get there, the stone has been rolled away. And they go inside the tomb. And what do they find as they go inside? We read that they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus there. His body is not there. He is not there. He is gone. And I love that phrase that Luke records for us here. They did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. They did not find what they expected to find and what they had came to do on that morning. There was no body there for them to anoint. Imagine if they had have. Imagine if the body of Jesus had been there. There would be no Christianity, there would be no hope, there would be no church. We would be left like those women in verse 1, like we've just described our world today, going through this life with no hope. But they don't find the body of the Lord Jesus, because he's risen. He's Lord. He's the Son of God. Of course his body's not going to be there, as the hymn puts it. Death could not hold him. The grave could not keep him. He's rising again. There's hope for a lost, broken, suffering world that faces the reality of death. His body was not there. He's risen. Yet these women still don't get it. The fog is still there. And we read at the start of verse 4 that while they were perplexed about this, they're standing outside that tomb and they're doubting and they're frustrated and they're anxious and they're puzzled and they have no idea what's going on. They're still not thinking resurrection. We know from the other gospel writers that they think someone has taken the body. And as they're there upset, thinking to themselves, the one little shred that we had left was to come and to dignify the body of our Messiah. And it's been taken away from us. The body is gone. Maybe some of us, today or in the days ahead, could relate to these women. No body to dignify. And yet, these women are going to see hope in the resurrection, and we can too. Even in the despair of loss at a time such as this, there is hope. There is hope in the resurrection. You see, for these women, revelation changes everything. These women are in their spiritual fog, and they're never going to see it by themselves. They need the reality of what has happened to be revealed to them. And it happens in an instant. The rest of verse 4, while they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. It happens in an instant. Straight away, two angels appear. Their description is described to us. Their clothes were like lightning. And the women, they're terrified and they bow in fear. And as these men look like lightning, the question that they ask the women strikes them like lightning in verse 5. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? These angels, these men, they say to the women, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? You're coming to anoint a dead body. You're coming in defeat. You're coming in despair. He is not here. He is risen. What are you doing here? Leon Morris says this. He says, Jesus is not thought of as dead. Therefore, he is not sought among the dead. Ladies, you are looking in the wrong place. Your defeat is actually your victory. God, through these angels, reveals the truth to these women that they should have known all along. And that's what we see in verse 6. He's not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee. In the fog, they need to remember. They had all the tools already to piece this together, but they haven't remembered. Jesus had already told them. He'd gone over it again and again and again as they journeyed from Galilee to Jerusalem with him. He was going to be delivered. He was going to be crucified, and then he would rise. But they don't remember by themselves. They need God's revelation for them to see. You're looking in the wrong place, ladies. And in Revelation, the message comes through the fog. Jesus is not defeated. Jesus has defeated the enemy. And that's what we rejoice on Easter Sunday morning. Our greatest enemy has been defeated. Death. The reality that each and every one of us face, the penalty for our sin and the fall in this world. It's the curse of this world since Adam and Eve. We taste the sting of death. We taste its bitterness. It points us to the eternal judgment beyond the grave. And the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death, physical death and eternal death in hell. 1 Corinthians 15:56, Paul says, the sting of death is sin. And the power of sin is the law. And yet in that empty tomb on that first Easter Sunday morning, it all changes. In Christ rising from the dead, death has been defeated. He defeated it, and he defeats it for us. He's not there, he is risen. And that phrase changes everything. He's risen, he's alive, our sin has been paid for, his sacrifice has been accepted, Satan has been defeated, death has lost its sting, victory is won for us beyond this grave. His people's resurrection is promised. Listen to John's revelation in Revelation 5, verses 11 to 14. Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them were 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth, and such are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Jesus is not in the tomb. He is on the throne. That tomb was empty. He had risen glorious to reign. And the angel says to these women, remember. Remember. That's what we need to do this morning, friends. We need to remember. The angels would say the same to us. In a time such as this, and as our world faces this crisis, as many are experiencing the bitter sting of death, remember, remember, remember. For those in Christ, that sting has been defeated. We have hope in the grave because Jesus is no longer in the grave. We rise with him. Paul goes on in 1 Corinthians 15, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we need to remember this Easter. That's what we need to remember every day. In Christ, the sting of death is gone. And though at times it looks like defeat, and though at times we make those lonely journeys to grave sites, to the Christian, death is victory, and we need to remember. We need to remember. And that's the experience of these women. Verse 8. And they remembered his words. They remembered his words. The fog finally lifts. They finally see this is not defeat. This is victory. This has been God's plan all along. The tomb is empty. Christ is risen. We see their discovery. Thirdly, we see the women's testimony. And we read that in verse 9. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. They rush from the tomb. They make that journey back as the light dawns. They find the disciples who are still in despair, still in defeat, and they tell them everything that has happened. What has been revealed to them? And we think, surely the disciples, the ones closest to Jesus, the one who knew these women, the ones who had heard time and time and time again what would happen in the plan of God, surely they will believe. And yet look at verse 11. What do we read? These words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. They think the women are delusional. The NIV translates it seemed like nonsense. They don't believe. They're still in the fog of defeat. And they won't believe until they encounter the risen Jesus for themselves, until it's revealed to them like it was revealed to these women. And perhaps that's you this morning as you tune in. You hear us talking about Christ being risen. You hear us talking about us experiencing the risen Christ and talking about it like it's real and it's true, that it's a reality. And to you, it just seems like an idle tale. It just seems like nonsense and you don't believe. What you need is what the disciples needed. You need revelation. You need revelation. What you need to do is go on that journey yourself. What you need to do is check it out for yourself. Look at the evidence. The evidence of the resurrection is there. Open up God's word. Ask him to speak to you. You need to encounter the risen Christ for yourself. Those of us who are in Christ have done that. We know this is true. We know that it is real. You need to do what only a couple of the disciples do in verse 12. Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen clothes by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. Peter runs to the tomb. The one who had spectacularly failed and messed up and let Jesus down so much, he runs there. He takes off to see if it's true. John's gospel tells us that John, the apostle John, goes with him. And John believes as he stands at that tomb that Jesus is risen. We read here that Peter marvels. The fog is starting to lift. Faith is beginning to dawn. Defeat is actually victory. Because some women went on a journey. It was revealed to them that Christ was risen. They believed. And they shared what they had seen. That's what God calls us to do as his people. We're to share what we have seen. We've experienced the empty tomb, the risen Jesus has been revealed to us, and our call is to go out and to share it with those who do not believe, to those who think it's nonsense, to those who are still in the fog, and we need to show them that the place of fog is actually the place of victory. We ourselves as Christians need to make sure we don't slip back into the fog of defeat, particularly at a time such as this, when our world is being ravaged by this virus and we are facing difficulty and loss. So much fear, so much suffering, so many people living in the fog of defeat. Nowhere to go forth boldly proclaiming an empty tomb, that there is victory, that there is hope. Death has been defeated and the tomb is empty. That's what we are to do this Easter time. We're to remember. We're to remember the tomb is empty. We're to give thanks for it. We're to apply it to our life every day. And we're to go forth and proclaim it to others. And if you've never experienced this for yourself, it's my prayer this Easter Sunday morning that it would be revealed to you, that you would meet the risen Jesus. Because if you do, you will never be the same again. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for all that today symbolizes for us. That Jesus is risen from the dead, that that happened in history, and that we experience that supernaturally as the reigning Jesus in heaven takes up dwelling in our hearts. Father, help us to rejoice today. Help us when in life that bitter sting of death comes. Lord, help us to see that sting has been removed in the victory of the risen Jesus, and help us to have hope in you. And Lord, help us as we go to a fearful world to stand strong, to proclaim hope and light in the darkness of death. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.